Welcome to the family here on Purple Mafia. I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen. Purple Mafia is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. I thank each and every one of you for downloading and listening to this show. It is a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today, as the Minnesota Vikings have their draft class in place, and we do have a quarterback of the future, and his name is J.J. McCarthy. So once again, the Minnesota Vikings took the player that I endorsed one way or another for one circumstance or another. Hopefully this is the third time in the last, 5 years or so? 5 or so years that they took the guy that I endorsed and they end up becoming a star player. So 2020, I endorsed Justin Jefferson at the pick, and the Vikings were able to get Justin Jefferson thanks to the Eagles taking taking the other guy. That other guy was mediocre. We end up signing as a free agent years later. And then last year's Jordan Addison, who looks absolutely like he's going to be a great player for many years in the NFL as a wide receiver. Now hopefully J.J. McCarthy ends up being a great quarterback in the NFL for many years and does have all of that winner's mentality. And it's extremely exciting to hear about what J.J. McCarthy can do. So yes, Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy is the Vikings pick, national champion, and all of that. How he came about getting to the 10th pick, it was a bit interesting, a bit dramatic, but well, it happened eventually, as McCarthy was ultimately the 10th pick in the draft. Of course, now we're going to go over the order very, very quickly here. Caleb Williams to the Bears, of course. Yep, Jaden McDaniels of the Timberwolves. Good luck to them. They're up 3-0 and looking to sweep the Phoenix Suns. How about that? Timberwolves explosion. Do check that out. The guy apparently we liked a lot. A lot of fans liked a lot. North Carolina quarterback Drake May. The Patriots said, sorry, that's who we're taking. Go away. Basically, you know, like, offer the moon, we don't care, we're taking Drake May, damn it. Arizona, basically same thing, their wide receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr., their star receiver to go with their crazy quarterback who can hopefully put the controllers down a little bit, enough of the Call of Duty or whatever the heck he plays, and you might have a nice connection there in Arizona, instead of possibly taking J.J. McCarthy or trading away Justin Herbert. They pick up the best tackle in the draft, Joe Alt, that's the Chargers, to protect Justin Herbert, and they told everybody to screw off about trying to trade for Justin Herbert. Supposedly the Vikings were involved in, you know, trade offers or, you know, making calls to the Chargers, and the Chargers said no, like a flat out no, basically. And then it was like, okay, so Vikings haven't been able to trade up. Everybody's telling us to screw off. It's like, oh boy, is this going to be one of those weird years where everybody gets shut out and we're going to end up, you know, like reaching for Bo Nix? Oh boy, yep. So it's like, it was like, stay tuned. Oh boy, here we go. The New York Giants, the pivotal position of the entire draft. So are we going to play poker here and say, and call the Giants bluff? They're going to stick with Daniel Jones. And then you sit and think about it. Well, they do owe Daniel Jones a lot of money. And, well, maybe you don't want to give up on it. Maybe you want to give him a really nice weapon. And that's what the New York Giants decided to do. Another LSU wide receiver. They've been coming out of LSU like pure gold. Obviously, Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson in the same stinking draft. That's just crazy. LSU has produced some incredible receivers, and we'll see if this one continues. Malik Nabers, who actually was ranked higher than pretty much anybody in the whole draft, I guess, according to some charts, will go to the New York Giants to help Daniel Jones, DJ, there in New York. And see if the New York Giants can get their heads out of somewhere, because they've been terrible. Tennessee Titans, are the Vikings going to trade up with them to avoid a Denver Broncos or, pardon me, Las Vegas Raiders? No, apparently not. I guess J.C. Latham is the offensive tackle for the Tennessee Titans. So, good for them. They have taken quarterbacks in back-to-back drafts. This year, they didn't. I was laughing to myself, if they take J.J. McCarthy, I'm just going to hit the frickin' ceiling. I'm going to be so pissed. I am going to be frickin' furious. I was outside enjoying the very nice evening while watching the entire draft mobile. So, when it's nice weather, I'm going mobile. I'm going mobile. And still enjoying a very nice, fresh pizza. Oh my God, it was good. Sometimes just being outside is okay, you know, especially if the conditions are nice. So, enough of myself here. The Titans took J.C. Latham. There's been all kinds of rumors. Vikings trade up with the Giants. They trade up with the Chargers. They trade up with the Cardinals. They trade up with the frickin' Patriots, even all the way up to the Washington Commanders. Did I call them the Redskins? Well, whatever they are. The Washington Caucasians. I don't know. There were jokes about that. Or no, that's the Cleveland Indian Guardian thingy. Sorry. It's been a joke out there. It's been going on for about 5 years or more. So, here it is. 7 picks. J.J. McCarthy's still there. The 3 main quarterbacks have been taken. So on and so forth. A couple of nice tackles. A couple of nice receivers. You know, top tackles, top receivers. You know, pivotal pieces. People really like those receivers, too, and don't blame you on that. But the tackles, I think, are super crucial to the future of your franchise. Tell that to the Minnesota Vikings with guys like Christian Darrisaw and kind of semi-reaching at the time for Brian O'Neill. He ended up being a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful pick. You know, and he didn't take nearly as long as people thought. Maybe they're thinking at least a couple of years before he can really be, you know, a decent tackle. Maybe later in the, maybe if we're lucky, later in the season. It was slightly, just a couple games in. And Brian O'Neill ever since has been a fantastic right tackle for the Minnesota Vikings. And Christian Darrisaw, an elite left tackle for the Minnesota Vikings, which is insanely cool. So the pivotal part of the draft, okay, maybe this is where the Vikings trade up. Because, well, otherwise Atlanta's going to take, like, you know, maybe a tackle, maybe a receiver, something to work with Kirk Cousins or a defensive player. It should be Dallas Turner, right? I mean, it's, okay, how about that? It's going to be Dallas Turner. You signed your quarterback 4 years, $180 million. $180 million for 4 years. That's all, just 180, you know, it's hardly anything, you know. It's just, I mean, are you kidding me how much money that is? $45 million a year on average. For 45 freaking million a year on average. Just put that into perspective before we get to what the Falcons did. A lot of you already know. But again, put that into perspective. So, again, Dallas Turner is the consensual pick here. He's an outstanding player, blah, blah, blah. Outstanding edge rusher. What did he have, 11 sacks and all that? We'll get into him a little bit for obvious reasons. And then the Falcons take their guy, I guess, Washington quarterback Michael Penix Jr. Wait, huh?
What were they thinking?
What was he thinking?
So yeah, 4 years to Kirk Cousins. Let me get this straight. 4 years to Kirk Cousins, $180 million. You know how most of it's guaranteed and Cousins, yeah, it's $180 million, right, to Kirk Cousins. And then you take Michael Penix Jr., who is actually one of the older quarterbacks too. So he's going to sit and rot behind Kirk Cousins, or you're using an 8th pick to take a backup, or you signed Kirk Cousins to be the backup, or there's little bombs going off around my head, like the angry video game nerd when he's like, he can't believe what he just saw or heard, or unexplained. I have no idea. It's a mystery of the universe. You know, why does the Earth... I mean, why is the only star in the entire sky that doesn't move the North Star? Like, how does that happen? Well, that's the way God created the universe. It's amazing that we're actually in the exact spot to be able to do that. Where the North Star stays in one spot where the rest of the stars spin with the Earth's rotation. And ultimately the orbit as well, as they change places in the sky because of that. Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, further proof that the Earth is round. Excuse me. It is. Ninth. Okay. But Michael Penix Jr. to the Falcons. That's almost as big a mystery as to how somehow, some way the Earth can be lined up with the North Star like that. Polaris. I still don't understand this. Michael Penix Jr., multiple ACLs, I believe both to the right knee. Obviously great numbers. The best arm I've ever seen. And I remember when you heard me in the pre-draft, and every time I saw the ball come out of his hand, I just kept saying, whoa, you know, it just kept coming out. Like, you just can't believe the guy's arm. Kirk Cousins is a pretty good arm, too. But I have no idea what the Falcons are doing. Talk about getting cute. Using the 8th overall pick in the draft? All right. And Kirk Cousins was miffed and irritated. The Kirk Cousins camp, whatever that is, if it's Kirk Cousins himself or everybody, I don't know. But I don't think anybody understands that one, but yeah, they took Michael Penix Jr. So, well, I guess we're not going to take Michael Penix Jr. with the 11th pick or trading up in a spot or two here. The Bears aren't trading, and they're not going to take a quarterback, but how funny would that be? And the Bears take J.J. McCarthy. It'd be like, huh? Yeah, okay, I quit. That's where you pretty much just turn the draft off and walk away. Like, I'm done. This is mental. This is just mental. Nope, they took the third receiver taken in the draft. Is he going to be the third best or the top receiver? Who knows? He might be the best receiver in the draft. He might be a bust. But we don't know. He probably won't be. But it's Washington's receiver now, going from Penix to their wide receiver, Rome Odunze, going to the Chicago Bears to be their top receiver, I would hope, with the 9th overall pick in the draft. So the Bears have a chance to be pretty damn good soon. And then we're sitting there. Okay, it's the Jets. They're not going to take J.J. McCarthy, are they? Well, I mean, what? Aaron Rodgers is almost 40. He's coming off an Achilles just like our guy, Kirk Cousins, our former guy. So I guess there's a possibility, or Denver or the Raiders are going to move up and take him. One of the two, because Denver's just lurking right there. They're just lurking, you know. And supposedly the Raiders, their guy was Michael Penix Jr. Like, Penix Jr. was not going past 13 if the Vikings said, no, that's okay, or the Vikings were able to get J.J. McCarthy. So it's like, one way or another, we're going to see what happens here with this Jets pick. It's pretty pivotal. All of a sudden, there's a little flash, and then there's the trade, and then the banner turned purple. And what can that mean? It can only mean one thing. The Minnesota Vikings are taking 10th, and it's going to be J.J. McCarthy. And guess what? It was. The baby-faced national champion quarterback of the Michigan Wolverines, only 21 years of age. But when you listen to his press conferences and his conversations, wow, he's a leader. He's a leader. And you know what? You could see it too. When you're watching the games and all that, the replays and all that, and the, you know, watching replays, watching highlights and lowlights and this lights and that lights, and orbs flying around. Okay, let's get off of that. I know I'm just messing around. Orbs flying around cemeteries. Yeah, that's really interesting, isn't it? I'm sorry I had to say that. Regardless, whatever you're watching, when you get to see what J.J. McCarthy can do out there, it just screams leader. And regardless if he looks real young and he's a baby face and all that, well, he's 21. What do you expect? 21-year-olds look like baby faces sometimes. Sometimes they do. And who cares? He helped lead his team to a national championship. Yes, they were focused on defense in the running game, but he still had to be the guy. And he wasn't just a game manager. He was throwing the ball up the middle. And there is a similarity to what our guy, O'Connell, the Irish connection here with these two guys, Kevin O'Connell and McCarthy. We'll get to that in a second. But yeah, similar to what O'Connell wants to do with J.J. McCarthy here, it's getting the ball up the middle and such. And well, and there's a Joe Burrow vibe. I mean, just right away, you can see similarities to Joe Burrow with J.J. McCarthy. You know, that's what I see. Like, Michael Penix Jr. is kind of like a Randall Cunningham. You know, that great arm, but a faster release. So potentially better than Cunningham, because Cunningham's undoing sometimes was that slow release. It was telling where the ball was going, and that could lead to mistakes and why his playoff success was so minimal and disappointing. He's all over the place. I didn't even look at Caleb Williams, I'm being honest. I didn't even look at him because he's going to the Bears and it's over. Why waste the time? Jaden Daniels, again, running machine. Kind of like a Michael Vick, but not a crazy arm like Michael Vick, but athleticism, Michael Vick level, that type of thing. He was just explosive. But J.J. McCarthy, very excited about this pick, definitely. And what drove me nuts, and I'll talk about it in the fan interaction as well, was how there were mock drafts with the Vikings taking J.J. McCarthy as high as 4 or 5, right? Mock drafts with trades included, and obviously that kind of stuff got tiring. Oh, here we go, you know, rather than like news of some type of a trade, it was just mock trade, and this guy's imagining this, and that guy's imagining that, and it was always J.J. McCarthy. And that's what I kept talking about on the last show. Every single trade up to like 5 and beyond with the Vikings, it was always J.J. McCarthy. And it was pretty cool. And I'm thinking it's probably going to be J.J. McCarthy. And I will gladly endorse the pick because that's kind of who I want. And it's kind of like who we're probably going to be able to get if we if someone else doesn't trade up ahead of us and take him away, like a Denver or whoever the heck else, the Giants or something. Giants of New York, the New York Nephilim Giants. Yes, I know, I'm just kidding. The New York Nephilim Giants, right? but, yeah, I mean, to me, this is the player that I wanted, and I think a lot of Viking fans did. But again, the experts out there, the Mel Kuypers and the others out there were, you know, it went from all these mock drafts of the Vikings trading up to get him, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, all, even 9, I think, with the Bears. And then ultimately it's a trade up to 10th where the Vikings gave up a fifth round pick, right? Or yes, the Vikings gave up a fifth round pick to get up here. And it's like the Vikings are reaching on J.J. McCarthy. We're reaching? When you had us going as high as 4 or 5 for him, we're reaching by taking him 10th? Really? We're reaching? Okay, that what a reach. I mean, we moved up one spot. And people were also complaining, oh, a fifth-round pick, that's pretty steep to move up one place. Well, kind of. I mean, I like fifth-round picks. I mean, Stefon Diggs is pretty damn good. And in the NHL, we got Kirill Kaprizov, but that doesn't happen every time. We also got Nate Triplett, right, with like a fifth-round pick, I believe. He was a Gopher linebacker who didn't even make the Vikings out of camp. I have never seen that happen. I hope I never see it happen again. A fifth-round pick doesn't even make the team out of camp. Not because of injury, not because of some personal nonsense, like he gets arrested or something crazy, you know, some stupid thing going on, domestic this or legal that. No, he just didn't make the team. That's all. He just didn't make it. Like, he was so bad, they didn't even sign him to the practice squad. So, yeah, that does happen sometimes, but I don't know. That's what we did, though. We traded a fifth-round pick to move one spot with the Jets to take J.J. McCarthy, who apparently it is not J.J. to J.J., it's J.J. to J-Jets or J.J. to Jets. But we can still do J.J. to J.J. So there was a conversation right away, not long after the draft pick was made, between Justin Jefferson, who hopefully will be signed soon, one of these decades, and quarterback of the future, Vikings quarterback of the future, J.J. McCarthy, that you're the J.J., I'm Jets. So, yes, J.J. McCarthy is J.J. McCarthy. So there's not going to be one, it's not going to be two, and it's not going to be one stealing it from the other or anything silly like that. So for the Michigan Wolverines, J.J. McCarthy in 2021, freshman. So apparently it goes from freshman, sophomore to senior, whatever that means. He graduated early, or I don't know, one way or another, he's in the NFL. Passed for only 500 yards, more of a backup quarterback in 2021. Five touchdowns, two INTs for 516 yards. 2022, sophomore again. Michigan was good the whole time. 27-19 in yardage. Completion percentage of 64.6. 22 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. Again, not the sexiest numbers, but certainly not bad either. So it's not really about the numbers here as we go into the final year of the national champion Wolverines. I was happy for them. 72.3 accuracy, incredibly nice. 9 yards per passing attempt, 8.4 in the second year and 8.7 in the previous year, the first year. 22 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. What do you think of that? One less interception, 9 yards an attempt and all that. So average yards attempt, 9.8, and then yards per attempt. Right. Anyhow, regardless, again, they didn't always throw the ball, but J.J. McCarthy got the job done at the end of the day, and he helped lead this team. Also, conversations of J.J. McCarthy, basically, or just J.J. or McCarthy. I got to say one or the other soon. Don't need to be like Joey Awajin and Justin Jefferson every second. Just you could say something else, but sound repetitive. But, yeah, leadership skills in terms of, like, if you're coming here to chase girls, you know, I don't want you here, basically. Like, you come here to play, come here to win, basically, and that was McCarthy's conversation so with his teammates. So that's pretty awesome. He said that in high school, and he said that in college. So absolutely cool. We're not here to be chasing girls and all that. We're here to chase a championship. And, well, he's won in the high school level, national champ, state champion, whatever. College level, national champion with the Michigan Wolverines. And hopefully with the Minnesota Vikings, Super Bowl champion at some point to finally be the one to end the drought like American Pharoah did with the Triple Crown. He was finally the one. Hopefully, you know, that was the announcement at the time when clearly American Pharoah was going to get it done. He had enough of a lead down the stretch that American Pharoah was going to clinch the first Triple Crown since the late 70s. Hopefully J.J. McCarthy is finally the one with the Minnesota Vikings very soon to end the drought and bring Vince Lombardi's trophy here to Minnesota. It'd be unbelievable. So Very excited. Leadership skills, a winner. Who cares about the baby face thing? Who cares? Well, let him stay young. You know, Kirk Cousins looks pretty damn young, doesn't he? At times, like when we first signed him at about 30, he looked pretty young too, didn't he? Looked like that, you know, young pretty boy in school. You know, that's what it is in high school or college. Okay, well, good for him. You know, whatever. But number nine will be the Minnesota Vikings quarterback coming up. Tommy Kramer made a joke about it, like, oh, my number's retired. He can't have it or something. And then he said, okay, to clarify, my number's not retired. I was just kidding. So all of you freaking out, calm down, basically. He was just kidding. Tommy Kramer, of course, number nine with the Vikings. Number's not retired. And Tommy Kramer, the 80s quarterback, you could say late 70s and early and most of the 80s quarterback of the Vikings. He was very good. Unfortunately, played in the shadow of Fran Tarkington. That's the sucky part. Couldn't stay healthy later on. That sucked. He was so good, though. But Tommy Kramer said, yeah, welcome to the Vikings, and the number nine is yours. It's that simple. Like, it's, yeah, of course. Otherwise, the other number nine was Jim McMahon for a season. No, 31 bleeping years ago. I can't even believe it. Jim McMahon, quarterback of the Vikings, coming from the Bears and the Eagles. Mostly the Bears, of course. Great run in the 80s. Speaking of the 1980s and number nines. That's kind of cool when you think about that. A good game manager, but a winner. Kind of a game manager, but a winner in Jim McMahon. By the time he'd come to the Vikings, he was way past his prime and as mobile as a... I don't even have the animal right here. As mobile as one of these trees out here, basically. Yeah, that's about the case. Me and my brother kind of often made fun of it, but made fun of his lack of mobility. But he was still a solid player and helped the Vikings make the playoffs, only to get beat by the bleeping Giants in a lame fashion. He had a weird fumble, but so did Carter. Vikings actually could have beaten the Giants in that game, which is really funny. Vikings probably should have won that game. But second round, we would have been sacrificial lambs to the Cowboys or the 49ers, though, anyway. So, because 92, 93, that was the Cowboys and the 49ers, and 94. Anyhow, I'll get off of that. There I go, off into la-la land again. McCarthy is mobile, too. Yes, he is. He is mobile. He's not, you know, he's not Steve Young. He's not Josh Allen, but he's mobile. He can move. He actually ran for 3 touchdowns last season in Michigan, 202 yards. 3.2 yards a carry. It's like, okay, well, but he can move. He's mobile enough to get away from a pass rush. Previous year in 2022, 306 yards, 4.4 yards a carry, and 5 touchdowns. 5. Not bad. So getting into the end zone 5 times. Very cool for Mr. McCarthy here. So now we have the Irish connection, which I do enjoy very much. Kevin O'Connell to J.J. McCarthy. It's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow there. At the end of the draft, ultimately, it's going to be a pot of gold with a Lombardi trophy waiting. Please tell me it's going to happen. I'm tired of waiting. We're tired. We're tired of waiting, guys. Please. We want the Lombardi trophy before we die. You know that surly beer? There's a reason the surly beer exists, where they call it before I die. Maybe after they win, they'll call it finally we got it. And I hope so. I really, really, really hope so. It'll be called Finally We Got It, thanks to J.J. McCarthy and Kevin O'Connell. That's why it's called Before We Die, because it's all about the Irish pot of gold with a surly beer. Now, it's not an ad for surly, but it's kind of funny because it's a funny name and it's quite true. Okay, hope you didn't mind my Irish accent there. I'm attempting to do a good one, you know. Because I am an angel. Okay, sorry. Touched by an angel. Touched by an angel. Well, hopefully the Vikings were touched by an angel here in this draft. Because, J.J. McCarthy is the quarterback, and we're very happy to have him, lads. I don't know if they say lads there. Well, the Atlanta Falcons ditched a nice defensive player, didn't they? Every mock draft had a certain guy going to them. And then team after team kept passing on him. So now we can move from McCarthy up to the New York Jets. Where did they go? Another tackle, guys. Another one. I have no idea. Olumwaya? Oh, yeah. Well, O-F. Fashanu. Olu Fashanu. We'll go with Olu. Olu Moyawa Fashanu. Fashanu is not too difficult. Offensive tackle from Penn State. So, yes, that's another tackle. That is tackle number three. So now you have three receivers, three tackles, and four quarterbacks taken in the draft. That would be the Jets taking the 11th pick. And the New York Jets, congratulations on having the best uniforms in football. Best helmets, absolutely the best helmets, maybe the best uniforms. I mean, man, I mean, what is it like? Minor updates here and there, and New York Jets have gorgeous uniforms and gorgeous helmets. So hopefully they can actually win something once in a while, since, what was it, Broadway Joe, who is about as Broadway as, is less Broadway than I am. At least I have a New York personality, even though I'm from Golden Valley, Minnesota. I speak my mind, kind of New York style, but anyhow, enough of that. 12th pick, Denver Broncos. It's not going to be Bo Nix, is it? Okay, it's Bo Nix out of Oregon. Great numbers with Oregon, of course. Another guy who's a bit older, 6'2", 214. He's not that undersized. Very accurate, so they're looking, okay, Drew Brees. That's what Sean Payton and others are banking on here with this Bo Nix pick. They had just acquired New York Jets quarterback Zach Wilson just like days ago, it seemed like, wasn't it? So now Zach Wilson and Bo Nix, I guess. Interesting combination there. So poor Zach Wilson. Yeah, it's like, yeah, he was kind of a disappointment, a bust, but he did have a weird attitude. He was thrown to the Wolves too early, which again is not good. Stop throwing these young quarterbacks to the Wolves too early unless clearly they're just like, yeah, I got this, let's go. If they're not like that, like say getting Ponder out there too early killed him, and terrible offensive line killed him. Kavaris Jackson, kind of similar thing, getting him out there too early, and he wasn't that good anyway. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. He lacked accuracy in Tavares, but he certainly had physical skills with the mobility and the big arm. But the accuracy sucked, and the decision-making as well. Anyhow, Bo Nix, accurate, smart, high IQ, and blah-bitty-blah. He's also pretty mobile, too. A little bit of Favre comparisons because of the mobility and then the accuracy with Drew Brees, because Brees was kind of mobile, too. He's not as short as Drew Brees. He's 6'2", so a little bit taller, and we'll see what happens. It's Sean Payton, and we're all not fans of him, but at least he's in the AFC. If you can knock the Chiefs out of the first round of the playoffs or second round, that'd be cool. Go ahead and do that. Maybe get the wild card and or whatever and knock the Chiefs out. Just send them back, and I'm tired of them. And they're a nice division rival. The other division rival for the Chiefs is the Oaktown Raiders. Well, so much for Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. or J.J. McCarthy or anything, so they take the best tight end in the draft by 100 miles. Brock Bowers, an outstanding tight end, is going to the Oaktown Raiders. Saints had an interesting draft. Talese Fuaga, okay. And Liato Latu rolls right off your tongue, doesn't it? To the Colts, 15th overall. 16th overall pick, a guy that maybe the Vikings might have liked. They were maybe hoping for this guy. Byron Murphy Jr., defensive tackle, not the cornerback that we already have, or Byron Murphy the second or whatever, going from Texas to the Seattle Sea Krakens. Now, the Seattle Seahawks, I get them mixed up with the Kraken for some reason. I don't know why, because I'm just weird. And then here comes the 17th pick. Okay, I don't even remember who it was originally. the Jaguars, that's right. The Jaguars are going to pick somebody. Maybe this is where Dallas Turner goes, one way or another. He probably is going to go to the Jaguars, because, yeah, I mean, Jaguars like to have a good defense and all that, and who knows? Or maybe get a weapon or something for, their young quarterback who's up and down a bit. One day he's throwing 5 touchdowns, the next day he's throwing 4 interceptions. I don't know what to make of the guy, or he's doing both. But maybe it's going to be Dallas Turner here. It's like, you know, we'd kind of forgotten about him. Like, it's like Dallas Turner was taken already, right? Because, you know, we're kind of in a haze. We're celebrating about McCarthy. We still have the 23rd pick, you know, which we all thought was going to be long gone because we're going to trade up to 6th or something. And, you know, to get McCarthy, to get J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings, you know. And then all of a sudden, the screen turns purple again. And it's like, no! We just went from 23 to 17? Wow. We gave up a 6th round pick. Yeah, it's not too bad. Oh, shoot. We gave up the 4th and 5th next year as well. So what's our draft next year? So we got like 3 or 4 picks or something? Oh, geez. So, well, we're going to have to figure out something leading into next year, because you can't have like 3 or 4 picks in a draft. So we're going to have to figure out something somehow to get a draft pick or two. I'm not sure what we're going to do to get there, but or just trade down, which is lame. But Sometimes you have to. We'll have to play the Rick Spielman game, but hopefully not just for seventh round picks. Screen turns purple, and it was like almost immediately. Alabama Edge Dallas Turner, who should have gone to the Falcons at 8 or something like that, comes to the Minnesota Vikings. Dallas Turner to the Vikings? Are you kidding me? Well, all frickin' right. Dallas Turner comes to the Minnesota Vikings, 6'3", 247, so he is a linebacker. He's a pass-rushing linebacker, and what was the first thing they said to him? Rush the quarterback. What would you like me to do there? Rush the quarterback. Rush the quarterback. Rush the quarterback. Okay, we get the point. Dallas Turner to the Vikings, and he will be rushing the quarterback. Awesome. So, yep, he was a junior, coming from Alabama, of course, high school of St. Thomas Aquinas. I remember Arnold Schwarzenegger soundbite about, I'd like to tell you about Thomas Aquinas. Okay, thanks. Anyway, Fort Lauderdale, Florida is where our guy Dallas Turner, man, I can't believe Dallas Turner's on the Vikings. It's so cool. He's a legitimate linebacker, but a pass rushing linebacker. So Mac from the Bears formerly, eat your heart out, I hope. 11 sacks, right? What the devil? He didn't get 17. Okay, let's look at the bottom here. Yeah, last year, 11 sacks, only 71 yards with a sack, but who cares? Interceptions, he had zero interceptions, but he did have a few pass deflections. He had some quarterback hits, 13 quarterback hits to go with the 13 sacks, or 11 sacks, 13 quarterback hits. 53 total tackles, that seems kind of low, but it's college. He's not going to get like 900 tackles. 15 and a half tackles per loss. That's cool, but remember, put into perspective, he had 11 sacks along the way as well. 2 forced fumbles. That's always a good thing. One against the against Ole Miss and one against South Florida. How exciting. But yeah, no interceptions, but that's kind of how that goes. I swear I thought I saw pass deflections, but I don't know. But one way or another, obviously a pass rushing linebacker slash edge, and again, this is the 3-4 defense, so yeah, you get the idea. That's kind of how it's built. You're gonna have four linebackers, so it's a little different. Sometimes one of the linebackers is a defensive end, and of course, we got the guy from Houston as well. So Minnesota Vikings future at the linebacker position looks pretty exciting. At the end of the day, I'm gonna bounce around real quick here. Again, some really nice free agents added as well. We'll get back to that in a second. I think I'm dragging this out longer than I would like, but there's a lot of pass rush with the Vikings at the end of the day. There's no doubt about that. Ivan Pace Jr., obviously Blake Cashman. Yep, this is not showing everybody, and that's kind of weird. I don't know what the deal is here. Okay, Jonathan Bullard, well, Harrison Phillips, Jerry Tillery, yep. So all different kinds of helpful players coming in, and then of course Dallas Turner, which a lot of people expect to be a day one starter with the Minnesota Vikings, and possibly most likely a future Pro Bowler for years to come. So really exciting to get Dallas Turner. Vikings did gut their draft even more next year, like I just said, fourth and fifth rounder gone to the and along with this year's sixth rounder gone to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Expert commentary, Turner's draft slide officially comes to an end with the Vikings trading up to get him in an effort to replace Danielle Hunter. Turner isn't a finished product. Yeah, he's young and he's raw. He's a rugged defender that managed to run a 4.46 40-yard dash at the NFL Combine. He's got the potential to be a dynamite edge defender in the NFL. And yes, very exciting to have Dallas Turner in the fray. So then here comes day two, second and third rounders. Nothing. Damn. Oh, well. Well, that's how it goes, though. Vikings traded up to get the 23rd, which then ultimately led to the 17th to get Dallas Turner, rather than trading too super high to get Drake May or whatever. Or really, really reach as far as we can to get J.J. McCarthy one way or another. So, day three, you get to Saturday afternoon, blah, blah, blah. Fourth round pick comes pretty early because it's the eighth pick in the fourth round. Kyree Jackson, who will turn 25 years old before the draft, a 6'4" cornerback, coming out of Oregon, a very familiar school, but only 1 year there. A bit of a mess. He was suspended in 2022. An extremely talented player who says he is the best cornerback in the draft, but dropped because of the, because of like missing 2022 and all of that. I guess he worked at a deli. He worked at a deli and was a meat slicer, like roast beef slicing meat or any other kind of meat. You could say ham or whatever. Ham, roast beef, that kind of stuff. Corned beef, laddie. You got to have the good corned beef, especially on St. Patrick's Day, you know. So, anyhow, back to Kyrie Jackson with the Vikings. A 6'4 cornerback, kind of like Xavier Rhodes, you could say. Oregon. Again, deli cutter, this and that. Again, missed time, unfortunately, because of... he was suspended in 2022. Three interceptions with Oregon last year. So that's always a good thing. No forced fumbles. 34 total tackles, but tackles aren't really what you're looking for. He did have a couple of sacks and corner blitzes, so that's always nice. Only 7 yards on three interceptions. That's kind of weird, but I guess you kind of catch the ball, maybe jumping backwards. Otherwise, 2 years with Alabama previously, and again, he will be turning 25. As things go forward. So interesting with how things go with that. But the three interceptions, that's good. Obviously a bit of a ball hawk at times. And that 6'4" frame can help, get to, yep, he had 7 passes defended. That's how many it was. Wow, that's pretty good, actually. Yep, that long reach can really help. And he's definitely a senior. He's turning 25 before camp starts. So it's going to be real interesting with how that goes at the end of the day. As for the actual suspension, did not elaborate at the time. So interesting with how things go. That would be Nick Saban, of course. He played for Alabama with Nick Saban and ultimately went to Oregon after all that mess. Jackson was a starter for the Crimson Tide, Alabama, Roll Tide Roll, blah, blah, blah. Sorry in case Cedric Balding is listening. No, I like Auburn much more. So yes, War Damn Eagle, in case you're listening, Cedric. Out of Mississippi, go Auburn versus Alabama any day of the week. And I like Auburn, War Damn Eagle. As for the suspension, it seemed like everyone's just kind of, I don't know, it's completely vague. They just never talked about it. I don't know, something, some kind of maybe off-field thing, maybe the disagreements of the coach. I have no idea. But ultimately, Kyrie Jackson entered the transfer portal and wound up with Oregon and had a pretty good year. Again, unfortunately, 25 coming into camp. But interesting pick, good personality, I guess. Interesting personality, and he'll be, he probably would have gone significantly higher if not for all that. It's a darn shame. But he probably would have gone much higher in the draft and a year earlier as well, as you have that stupid redshirt nonsense. So that's kind of what put him behind, unfortunately. But, yeah, it's like I'm going to Oregon, enter the transfer portal and all that cute stuff. Of course, again, did not elaborate, which is kind of annoying, but we'll get back to that in a minute. I'm babbling a little too long. Interesting pick at the end of the day. And then you have to wait all the way to the 6th round, but the number one pick in the 6th round. So, okay, Walter Roos, who's a monster out of Oklahoma, the Sooners. 6'6", he played left tackle the entire time. Left tackle, Walter Roos, big hulky guy at 6'6", 313, and on almost 500 passing snaps last season, did not allow a single sack. So, Walter Roos, good job. 6th-round pick, we'll see, a depth guy for now. Could he develop into something, or being that third offensive tackle, that left tackle, so to speak, because, Christian Darrisaw, as great as he is, he misses time. So hopefully Walter Roos can develop into something over the course of time, and we'll see. We've had some major success in the 6th round in the past when it comes to offensive linemen, believe it or not. And we've had a bunch of guys like Jagger and all those big monster of a guard. Was it Chris Jagger? Just a beast. Didn't play a single, didn't play at all for the Vikings, basically. He was there as like a backup, but never really played. He was inactive or just a backup that never got in the game. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with Walter Roos. Something could be there, and I frankly hope his value will be utilized at some point if need be. Obviously, again, you'd like to see Brian O'Neill and Christian Darrisaw stay healthy, but both of them have had injury history, especially lately with O'Neill with the Achilles deal and such. So that was a frustration. O'Neill missed some time last year. Maybe it was kind of like recurring issues with that Achilles. It was a partially torn one. late in 2022, so he couldn't have him against the Giants and so on and so forth. That was a bummer. Will Reichard, not William Riker from Star Trek The Next Generation, but I guess you could call him that. He's the first officer of the Enterprise, but he's also a kicker. 27th pick in the sixth round. Kicker out of Alabama. Everybody's from Alabama, right? So it's one of the places where it's a bit more of a pressure cooker and you got to make your kicks. Apparently he was perfect from 50 yards in. So, and he made a bajillion extra points. So Will Reichard is most likely the Minnesota Vikings kicker for the, for maybe the long-term future here. We'll see if he ends up being a stud of a kicker, and hopefully he is. Unfortunately, he doesn't have like that booming leg, like the 60-yard kicks, like certain guys. Was it like Prater of Arizona and such? I think he's in Arizona. He used to be with the Detroit Lions, who could make a kick from Seattle, basically. Or if you want to go with Minnesota terms, make a kick from Hugo, we'll just say. Like, holy crap, he made that? And it'd be annoying and frustrating, but okay, you got to have some respect for guys like that. Guys that can make kicks from, 60 yards plus and do it like it's, it's just another kick. It's just another day at the office. Dust myself off. That wasn't that hard. Give me a break. All right, guys, let's celebrate the win. Well, hopefully Will Reichard, one way or another, will make the kicks we need him to do. And maybe that leg will develop and get stronger. Who knows? Still young. And again, a pressure cooker like Alabama, where you're competing for national championships every year and going against all the top, teams in the league and all that pressure on the road and at home, because there's pressure from both crowd, the home crowd too, believe me. You better make it, you son of a blank, you have one job and blah, blah, blah. So we'll see what happens. And of course, the fact that he doesn't have the biggest booming leg in the history of the world, it's not too bad because of the changes to the kickoff rules and all that cute stuff. So on to the seventh round we go, where we have two picks. Michael Juergens, center or offensive line, so to speak. He's a guard or a center. 6'4", that's pretty tall. Very tall for a guard or center. 6'4", 311, so a big, big dude who can play center. But apparently he's actually better at left guard. And, well, the Vikings might have a hole at left guard right now because a certain guy hasn't returned. So apparently he's annoyed with us, and the contract is apparently maybe we haven't offered him anything and we're just kind of leaving him hanging, or we're offering him low ball offers or whatever the heck is. But it's frustrating and disappointing, to say the least, the right guard of the Vikings at the end of the day. I don't think they're showing. Yeah, they don't show anything here. What the devil? Yeah, I don't think, pardon me, but we'll have to wait and see what happens with him. Free agent, of course, declaring for free agency months ago now, former Denver Bronco and all of that. It's a sad thing, of course. The Vikings did get depth at the cornerback position. Remember, I talked about that in the last draft. And then again, Kyrie Jackson. We'll see how all of that craziness turns out. My mind is just completely a blank at the moment. And right as I'm like thinking, I didn't even have to look. Dalton Reisner. Yep. So that's who it was, the left guard. I'm like, who was that again? Yeah, Dalton Reisner, the left guard of the Minnesota Vikings. Of course, again, so we're going to have to wait and see how all that turns out. Is he going to come back? Is he not? I don't think this, not really sure about this, where am I going here? Sorry. I'm not sure that Michael Juergens coming out of Wake Forest, I didn't say what school he's from, is going to necessarily be our left guard starting out the season. But we'll see. He'll have time to develop, and hopefully he does. Levy Drake Rodriguez, the final pick of this draft, 12th pick, only two picks later, coming in out of Texas A&M, 6'4", 290. He's a defensive tackle, so an inside guy. They say he's not really all that quick. But a lot of the experts, like Mel Kiper and all that, were raving about this guy, especially at what position he was taken. Apparently, it sounds like both of these guys could have easily, obviously, gone as a undrafted free agents with how they were ranked. But the Vikings were like, well, we'd rather just have them and not have to mess around with that, because we got our eyes on other people that we'd like to get that are undrafted free agents, and we're going to try to get them. So that might be the focus here. So, I mean, if that's who you want, that's who you want. So, hopefully these two guys work out at the end of the day. You never know. Levy Drake Rodriguez, interesting pick. Again, especially if Kiper and all them were raving about him. And, this guy's got some something there. As for the undrafted free agents, Matt Sindrick, offensive line out of California, C.J. Cloyd, not Lloyd, but Cloyd, okay, linebacker out of Miami Hurricanes, Jeremy Flax, well, all right, offensive line, Kentucky, Flax, Flaxseed, Dallas Gant, apparently he's well thought of, linebacker out of Toledo, Devron Harper, wide receiver, Mercer, and then Ty James, also wide receiver, Mercer, both Mercer wide receivers. Apparently Ty James, the Bears really wanted him, and he's been sought after. In just 2 years, 2,000 yards, over 2,000 yards, and 20 touchdowns for Mercer. So, interesting pickup. A lot of people think that could be something here. Maybe Ty James. As the Vikings did not take a wide receiver in the draft, as right now there's no definitive third receiver on the Minnesota Vikings roster. So, who knows? Maybe Ty James will surprise us a bit, as we'll see. Or it could be one of these other guys. That's Juwan Jones, the wide receiver out of Maryland. Trey Knox. Hard Knox himself. I don't know. I'm just kidding. Tight end, South Carolina. Interesting. Tyler Manoa, defensive line out of Arizona. Rolls right off your tongue. Donovan Manuel, linebacker, Florida International. Dwight McGluthern, cornerback, Arkansas. Gabriel Murphy. I believe this was the one that a lot of people were raving about, that he was actually taken very... Yeah, he was ranked very high, actually, in the draft. So... Like all the, you know, how the you know, you'd rank the prospects. So he was thought of very highly. Outside linebacker out of UCLA. Doug Nestor, offensive line, West Virginia. Owen Porter, outside linebacker, Marshall. Bo Richter, like Richter Belmont in Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Or Castlevania Dracula X Rondo of Blood, I guess, for the PC Engine or TurboGrafx. Sorry, that's the prequel to Castlevania Symphony of the Night. I'm sure you care about it, but sorry, I like it. Bo Richter, offensive linebacker, Air Force. Spencer Rowland, offensive line, North Carolina. And Taki Taimani, defensive line, Oregon. I believe that's the other guy who was ranked pretty high and should have been taken in like the fifth or sixth round or something, or even higher, fourth round. I think it was Murphy they were talking about, could have gone as high as the fourth round. So something along those lines. But that's those are your undrafted free agents, 17 of them. So we'll see what happens at the end of the day. Interesting additions to this team. Lots and lots and lots and lots of wide receivers, I suppose, or at least three of them. Is it three or is it even more? Three. Okay, three receivers. We took how many offensive linemen? Like 16? No, one, two, not that many. Three, four. Okay, three offensive linemen. Linebackers, one, two, three, four, five, six linebackers. So I suppose when you need four of them, yeah. Defensive line, like inside, that's that. Taki Taimani, is he the only one? Nope, Tyler Manoa as well, out of Arizona. Rolls right off your tongue there. So, interesting. Interesting additions here. We'll have to wait and see how all of this turns out. But that's your draft class and your undrafted free agent class. Good luck to all these young men, and wishing you the best 100%. Ty James might be, from what they're talking about Ty James and his ability, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up wearing purple on Sundays. He'll be wearing purple in mini camp and all that, and training camp, but we'll see. Will he be wearing purple on Sundays? Ty James, and maybe some of these other guys as well. I mean, best of luck to all of you. Last year you had Ivan Pace Jr., people were raving like, holy crap, this is this guy, you know, if not for being a smaller guy, he could have gone way up there. And because he had elite numbers, ended up being a pretty nice starting linebacker for the Vikings as an undrafted free agent, as a rookie, pretty good. So hopefully the Vikings struck some gold here as well. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, good job, man. Good job, at least from what I could tell. Good job. Definitely looking good, and McCarthy and O'Connell connection looks extremely exciting. This was the most pivotal draft for the Minnesota Vikings in probably, I don't know, all the way back to like the early 70s or something, getting Ron Yari or something like that. But we've had some important drafts, there's no doubt, getting Culpepper in 1999. 2005 was an important draft. Yeah, we were kind of coming off of those glory years and hoping things work out. You know, Culpepper's coming off a near MVP season. You know, and then we wind up with, we end up losing Moss, you know, we end up trading away Moss. And then Troy, and then we have two first-round picks of Troy Williamson and Kenechi Odeza or something. No, not Kenechi Odeza, Erasmus James, who were massive busts. So don't think that's going to happen here. Please, Lord, don't let it happen. Please, let these guys both be studs. And sounds like they should be. Where Troy Williamson, not many people were all that excited other than he's kind of fast, even though Brad Johnson overthrew him. Wrap your head around that. Brad Johnson overthrew Troy Williamson. An old Brad Johnson, by the way. Yeah, like 36, I think it was. Wow, that's all you got to say about that. not Kenechi Odeza. He was kind of mediocre, but he also had illnesses and such. And then the other guy, yeah, Erasmus James was garbage. So with that said, we'll take a quick break and hear what you had to say out there. We are back here on Purple Mafia. I also did the little combining for the Facebook page and Instagram. So gotten that together, the professional account on Instagram. So hopefully this can develop into something. I put in a tiny little reel. I'll probably do those every now and then, like maybe post-game thoughts that last like, you know, a minute and a half, that kind of thing. Instant reaction at the end of the, at the end of games. So we'll have to wait and see how that goes. I'm looking forward to doing some of that. Hopefully that can help kind of get this, just make the show a little more fun, a little more entertaining. Can't say it was the greatest little reel I ever did, but I talked about that we had five picks at the time and all that cute stuff. So check it out if you want to. Facebook, well, there's a link in the profile. Purple Mafia Show, Minnesota Vikings Show on Facebook. On Twitter, it is Purple Mafia Show. You should be able to find it pretty easily. And again, link is in the description for the Facebook page. Otherwise, hopefully you can look it up in the search. Purple Mafia Show, and you will find it, I hope. Instagram, also, I believe it's just Purple Mafia Show, straight up, which is wonderful, actually. It makes things easier. I want to make 100% sure, because I did use Instagram quite a bit last year in the because Facebook was dead, and I didn't recreate the page, because the page was still lurking there. And, nothing happened. Looks like it's mostly likes and such here and there, but no actual comments, unfortunately, but that's okay. If you want to, you can, but certainly not required. So that's since the last show. Purple Mafia Show, one quick shot on Instagram, and hopefully this continues to grow. Please do join the Instagram and the Facebook page. Get those things moving, because the Facebook page is starting from scratch, only 48 followers. When it once upon a time had like 1,300. So where are all of you? Come back, please. Like some of you, like 10 more. No, I'm just kidding. Hopefully more than that. And of course the Twitter, we're going to go there right now, which has been more active. And that unfortunately hasn't really been growing either. Thanks to shadow banning. Cause yeah, that's my strong belief there. So I'm going to scroll down here, make sure I get everything if I can. What the heck? Okay. So want to make sure I acknowledge the people that were kind enough to retweet the most recent episode, because it means the world to me that you did that. It really does. Oh, nope. That was the free agency episode. Where is the draft preview? Okay. Vince Germano out of Australia, Melbourne, Australia. Tanae Brown out of New Zealand, retweeting the most recent episode. It means a lot to me, guys. It really does. Gerald String out of South Dakota. So I'm not sure if he's joined the Facebook page yet, but yeah, you're welcome to use Twitter if you prefer that at the end of the day. Gerald String says, hope they just stay put and get Byron Dallas, or Harry, Jerry's. Well, we did get Dallas, so Dallas Turner, and then go Bo at 23. Interesting. So we went with McCarthy and Dallas Turner. What do you think of that, Gerald? So I'd like to hear your thoughts, though maybe they're already here. But one way or another, McCarthy instead of Bo. So we'll see how that turns out. And for the most part, we kind of stayed put, but whatever. Kev's Hobbies kind of getting smart with me here. I'm not sure why, but people like to do that, I guess. Rather than actually make a comment, they just get smart with you. I was saying I'm so done with the mock this, mock that. Just get to the draft already. All these mock trades are meaningless dribble. And then he responds with drivel. Okay, so thank you for that. I appreciate it. And it'd be nice to hear, I don't know, it'd be nice if people actually commented instead of just trying to make you look dumb, but I don't know. That's what some people want to do, I guess. Vince Germano, Australia, says, I'm looking forward to the Browns stuffing up yet another draft. And I was saying, I hope they don't. It'll be nice to see them get over the hump. We both need to. So, yes. Dave Hickey out of Iowa, which is the number one state for Purple Mafia. What do you think of that? Number one. Not Minnesota, it's Iowa, which again, it says a lot about Iowa in a positive way, and it says a lot about Minnesota as well. Like, I don't know. I don't think Minnesotans like me that much, but Iowans do, and I appreciate you guys very much. What was third? I don't even remember now. What was third place? Was it California? I think it might have been. Maybe Anthony from L.A. still listens, but he doesn't comment anymore. He stopped commenting like 100 years ago. Hawaii, that's right. That was a huge surprise. And it's not just third place by like, okay, it's like way down there. See, Iowa's like way, you know, Iowa and Minnesota are like light years ahead. No, Hawaii is only 2% behind Minnesota. Hawaii. Hello, Hawaii. Aloha. And God bless you guys. Thank you. Just in case you're listening, introduce yourself. Please introduce yourself on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. I'd love to just at least say hello and say, so-and-so from Hawaii, you know, says McCarthy is a great pick, and my goodness, here we go. You know, whatever it is, I would love to say hello to you. Georgia's fourth, California fifth, Florida sixth, but Hawaii is third place. I remember I was going to say that, and for some reason I started blanking and thinking it's California. No, Hawaii, which is a pretty nice surprise, actually, and that's awesome. Say hello to me sometime. Anyhow, to Dave Hickey, he says, let's get it on. I want Drake May and then JJ. So Drake May was your first choice. JJ was second. Okay, then Penix, if we can get him at 11. Then my fantasy is Cooper DeSean at 23. I think he went in the second round, didn't he? And Torrey Taylor, the Iowa punter. That would be funny. What if we took him, like, real high? No. I wonder if he got drafted or if he could be signed somehow as a free agent. But let's look up Torrey Taylor. Is it Torrey Taylor? So I'm not looking up the wrong person. I'm going to look him up quick. What the heck? Torrey Taylor. Whoops. How do you mess that up? Wow. I keep misspelling it. That's stupid. Yeah, he's a football player. Thank you for that. For the Bears. So the Bears apparently signed him or drafted. Fourth round pick? Okay, yeah, I think he was like the best punter. Fourth round pick. Holy mother of Moses, but he's also pretty old too. Wow, he's pretty old. 26? Out of Melbourne, Australia. He's a Torrey Taylor from Melbourne, Australia, mate. I'll show you how to punt the ball, you sons of biscuits. Just kidding. Yeah, okay. Nice. He's one of the oldest players, but yeah, if he's a great punter, who cares? And it's 26. It's not like he's 30. So, yeah, that would have been nice, but the Bears took him in the fourth round. Wow. Anyhow, Dave Hickey continues, says, I know the 2 months leading up to the draft has driven me crazy with his quarterback this and quarterback that. Ugh, yes, I agree. 1,000,000%. What was I saying? Amen, brother. Okay. Kept that probably too simple. I'm sorry. Probably could have said a little more. Mad Martin, Dave Martin, out of Northern Scotland. Lightning round is here. It's a lightning round, at least four in a row here. Whew, the future is here, and let's hope it's a bright one. JJ to JJ sounds good. Yep. I was saying I like it very much. It looked bleak for a minute there, and then at the end, we were keeping our first-round pick. Could be a fun night. Mad Martin says, now we've our rookie. Let's build that monster roster. Then he continued saying it, and it could end up being a great night. That's what I was saying. Ben Martin said, it certainly was. Fingers crossed. We have our franchise quarterback and a standout edge player. After half a decade of mediocre play, we could be heading for greatness. 8 wins this season would be an amazing platform for the future. Exciting times. Yep. Yep. Yeah, because maybe, hopefully, that first round pick will be fairly high unless we have to trade it away just to get some other players, depending on who's there, I guess. Mad Martin was saying a ton of defensive talent at 23, and yeah, we really ended up getting something going there. He said, it's 3 a.m. here, I'm off to bed, hope they nail the 23rd, and yep, ultimately, yeah, like he was saying, the Dallas Turner pick, awesome. Today, Brown, New Zealand says all for clicks, Joey. Yep, that was all that, yeah. I was saying they had McCarthy going as high as fifth overall. Now they're constantly talking about the Vikings overdrafting him at 10. Come on, people. No consistency whatsoever with these overpaid quote-unquote experts. Tanae Brown responds with, all for clicks, Joey. That's why I enjoy your podcast. You'll speak the truth. It might be a hot take, but you'll genuinely believe it. Yes, yes, I do genuinely believe it. I'm not trying to be showing off. You know, I'm not trying to show off for attention. I'm not. A lot just say things for the sake of controversy. Yep, yeah, yeah. Then it kind of gets the oh wow, look at what he said, and man, ooh, he thinks Drake May is going to be the next Patrick Mahomes, or he thinks Drake May is going to be the bust of the century. He's going to be worse than Ryan Leaf. He's going to be so bad they're going to cut him out of training camp. Drake May is going to be cut by the Patriots by September 11th or whatever. Wouldn't that be something? Dave Hickey says, I like the move because I believe the Raiders were trying to move ahead us, but we beat them to it. Yep, with the 10th overall pick. Yep. Matt Martin hath returned with a couple more here. Okay, I already read that one, but it certainly was an exciting times. Here it comes, the last one here. For all the newer and younger Viking fans out there, you are about to experience how much more fun and exciting it is to be trying to build a championship team rather than just trying to be better than a mid-level or in the hunt playoff team. Yes. Yes. And that's also what the Minnesota Wild need to do because they've been doing the same thing. That's a Brave the Wild podcast out there. But yeah, the Wild have been doing the same thing. Just kind of hanging around and staying competitive, but nowhere near being a championship team. You know, and it's annoying. Not even close. And yeah, we're done with that crap. That was fun. That was a lot of fun. So really appreciate that. Let's get to the Facebook page. I don't think there's a whole lot there, unfortunately, but that's how it goes when it's, you know, coming back from the dead, basically. Nothing there. The McCarthy, up, I was saying, Vikings trade up 10th overall and all that. And then the Dallas Turner pick. Yep, Tanae Brown, there he is, says, this was quite a fun draft. Absolutely crazy we have Turner and McCarthy. And yep, it really is. It was a lot of fun. That first round was awesome. And the other rounds, we'll see. Could be a lot of fun. Yep, I was saying the pressure is on. Yep, apparently the Vikings included a 2025 third and fourth rounder, which is a lot. The pressure is on. Well, I guess it was a third and fourth rounder. Jeez, that is expensive. Then the whole Penix thing, that didn't generate any responses, unfortunately. It's not necessarily for clicks, but some maybe a response to get some conversation going with that whole Falcons thing. Nobody talked about it, surprisingly. Well, you're always welcome to do a audio submission. Anybody that wants to talk about what the weird stuff the Falcons did or more or less be happy about J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner and some of these other guys like Kyrie Jackson and such. So, yeah, I'd love to hear from you. Audio submission is done pretty easily. All you do is pick up your smart device, press the free voice recording app that everybody has, or you can download one for free off of the Play Store or the Apple Store, whichever store it is, and conversate with me there. Basically, what you do is you just create an audio file, just like, hey, how's it going? You know, wow, McCarthy, this is great, blah, 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 or whatever. You're questioning them or whatever the heck decision you want you have, and then you basically save it and then email/share it to paladinolive@yahoo.com. paladinolive@yahoo.com. I will then convert it into an MP3 file thanks to Cloud Convert. CloudConvert.com. Awesome, awesome page that helps you convert files from M4A to MP3 or whatever. It's a great page. So a free plug from me to them. The cryptocurrency thing, I do believe I still have a link in the show description, which you click on that. And money will be put in your account right away, and you can get up to $50 put in your account for free, basically, that you can use for whatever. So, yeah, you can use for whatever cryptocurrency. So, yeah, and that would also help the show as well. So if you could do that, that'd be great. If you want to trade some cryptocurrency as they've been on the rise. Final thing, again, please put a nice five-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other app that allows you to do that to help this podcast with algorithms and such. It is also on YouTube, and I might do some reels on there or even live videos that probably aren't too long. I don't anticipate doing long live videos, but some here and there. And, of course, possibly reels that'll be on both Instagram and Facebook. That'll be, maybe the instant, like immediate reactions after a game or something crazy happens. So I'd like to start doing that a little bit. I don't have the prettiest face in the world, so you know, that's why I haven't really been Mr. Video guy, been more of an audio guy. So I'm not really here to be seen. I'm more, hopefully, you know, you like what you hear on the show. I'm not even necessarily trying to be heard either. I'm just trying to give you a quality product that hopefully you can enjoy and can help you pass the time, maybe at work, working outside or whatever the heck you're doing. And yeah, make it less boring, you know, cutting grass or cleaning the, like mopping the floor or whatever the heck you might be doing at home, you know. So, you know, that's what I'd like to help provide for you and talk about a team that we both love, the Minnesota Vikings. So with that said, hopefully the future is as bright as it may appear here for the Minnesota Vikings and that the drought will be ending very soon. Thank you so much for listening. Tell your friends about the show. God bless you, and we will talk to you sooner than later.